Hey everybody, this is your host, Alex Kessler, and today we have a sponsor, the people from Wizardry Foundry. This episode was brought to you by Wizardry Foundry, maker of the Grimoire deck boxes and other accessories. Looking to truly spice up how you carry your priceless collection? Check out the Pandora deck box, a fully 3D printed deck box which you customize everything from head to toe. Wizardry Foundry, play the games you love the way you want to play them. The coupon code for this episode is MMCastMAR1. That's like March without the CH. MMCastMAR1. You get 25% off the Grimoire and or Pandora deck box. So check that out. It's pretty sweet. See you guys once the music ends and the cast starts.
Welcome, travelers. We're aware that your journey was difficult, but prepare to have your questions answered, for you have been granted an audience with the Masters of Mar.
And welcome back to the Masters of Modern podcast. I'm your host, Alex Kessler, here with my co-host, Ben Bateman.
What's up, everybody? How's it going?
That was a weird one.
That was a weird one. Yeah, I try to change it up sometimes.
Oh, yeah, me too. And my welcome back moment, different every time. It's always really excited and then stop break in the middle of the word and then go to something else.
I sometimes imagine what people who listen to this podcast for the first time think of us with our strange anecdotes and funny voices.
I don't know. Tweet at us. Tell us what you think. Speaking of which, we are at the MMCast on Twitter.
Yeah, you can find
just
us. Just
got that real early.
Yeah. You can find me at Ben Bateman Media and Alex at Kess Wiley.
Yeah.
And that's where you can find us place. We're going to do a sweet episode today. It's a fun one. We've talked about doing this for a while, and it's a pretty hilarious one because if you guys are like us and love Modern and love the Modern card pool, we've wanted to do this episode for a while, and it's funny because if you guys are like us, you probably feel kind of like inundated with just the sheer number of planeswalkers that are legal in Modern at this point.
So many.
There's like 61 legal planeswalkers.
Because Shadow and Innistrad throwing a wrench in that.
Yeah, we're not going there yet.
Yeah. So we're not going to talk about the sweetness that was Nahiri.
Yeah, for other stuff.
I mean, I'm going to talk about
just,
it a little bit.
You just awesome. Shut your trap.
It's so cool. Look how the art is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's really cool.
She's a badass with that sword and the thing and the explosion. She's basically Taylor Swift.
Yeah, she does look a lot like Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
I wonder if we could get some Taylor Swift tweeting.
Somehow. I tweeted at her with a picture of it. She didn't respond.
Yeah, I mean, she has millions and millions and millions of followers, so she's probably not even checking it. You never know, though. Let's just keep at it. If you guys hadn't guessed, what we were going to be doing is
we're counting down
the top
all 61 planeswalkers. We rated them. This is the official rating of them. All other ratings are wrong. This is it. We consulted scientists. We consulted deck doctors. We consulted magic planeswalker astrophysicists.
The database
on the best planeswalking planeswalkers.
The database of our janky brews. Which, by the way, between the two of us, as far as who uses more planeswalkers in their janky brews, definitely Kessler.
Oh yeah, I love planeswalkers.
You've been known to build every version of Mardu and Esper and Super Friends lists just to
every
the
time
nines.
The standard season gets to the point where there's enough planes. Walkers of a certain color combination to make a walkers list, I do it every time. I have a teamer list built.
Yep.
Got to be doing a Mardu thing soon.
Never has really been my thing as much. I find I like a couple of planeswalkers,
they're
but I like
so value filled.
I like
tasty,
the ones
tasty value.
I like the ones that interact with other cool cards that I can involve that shouldn't be in, you know what I mean? Where I can involve a card that shouldn't interact with the planeswalker, but I can find a way to make it work.
I don't think I've ever done well in a tournament where a Liliana of the Veil or Elsbeth 1 wasn't in my deck.
Yeah, I mean, those are really good cards.
Yeah.
So really we're going to be counting down, and that is something
counting
that we
down.
Are going to do before we get into, obviously.
This might be a two-part episode.
Yeah, we'll see. It just depends how long it goes. But
there are 61 of them.
We should remind everybody here of two things. Number one, we have a sister podcast, The Command Zone. They do Commander content.
Command Zone!
They are also on RocketJump.com.
I got a whole board now. Of radio sound effects.
Toolbox.
Yeah, so they're great. No, I mean, they do awesome Commander content.
They're great. Jimmy and Josh
go
are awesome.
Listen.
They are, popular
after this episode.
Respected and all that. People like their Commander opinions, so they're fun to listen to. And then last thing, of course, is that we have a Patreon page. We launched pretty recently, like a month ago or something. And the whole idea there is that Kessler and I are both very busy, and we would love to do more content, additional episodes, video content, streams, things like that. But we don't have the money or time to do it ourselves or pay a video editor. So we have decided to enlist the help of our fans, guys.
Look at it this way. Let's break down the math. Every single one of these episodes,
yep,
about an hour and a half. We don't edit them fully, but but there is editing involved, and that takes about an hour to an hour and a half because of upload speeds and upload content. We want to start doing video versions of them.
Well, you're not mentioning prep time, drive time, research. We write
that's another 2 hours.
We write a detailed outline.
My point is like no matter what, we have the time to show up, record, etc. It's the 3 hours post fact that if I wasn't spending doing that, I could spend it doing sweet streaming or other content.
So the good news is a handful of you guys have decided to help, and it's really, really awesome that you have. We've hit the first milestone. We did our first live stream last week. We had a bonus episode with Jerry Thompson talking about Eldrazi Winter last week that was a result of the Patreon campaign, which is really cool.
Yep.
And we want to do more extra cool stuff, like have an iPhone go off in the middle of the podcast.
Yeah.
We want to do...
No, that was the soundboard. I told you about it.
But the point is, there's a couple different levels, and the coolest thing that you can get at a very, very low level of donation is that you can submit your deck ideas to us via the Patreon, and we will tech out. Once a month, we'll do like two or three lists of you guys, just the Patreon subscribers. We'll tech them on the show. We did one a couple weeks ago with some sweet ideas, and it was very fun. So... check that out.
The live episode. That was last week.
The same one.
Yeah.
And there were some very cool things. So check that out if you want to help us out.
Plus, if you want your audio recorded message to play, you can say anything. Not anything. I mean, I have veto power.
Yes. But so the last thing, patreon.com/themmcast. You can see all the levels that we work with. And as for that, let's get into our top 61 planeswalkers in reverse order list.
So
I should point out, by the way,
that these are the exact list. We are correct. Your opinion, if one of the walkers is too high or too low, is wrong. This is it.
There's a weird lens you have to look through these lists because it's a combination.
I'm etching it in stone.
No, but you got to remember it's a combination of playability in modern and how sweet the card is. So it's not just this has seen the most top eight, so this is the best card. It's like maybe this card hasn't seen as much play, but for all intents and purposes, it should, and we believe it will. That kind of a thing.
So the way I'd break it down is the top 10 are cards that are active pillars of the format.
Right.
Top 20 are cards that have seen constructive play in modern and successfully seen play doing so.
Okay.
The next 20 are all cards that at varying different levels should maybe see more play but don't see enough play.
All right.
And then the bottom 20 are. Or that 50 to 60 level are cards that are probably not good enough and maybe have some niche cases. And the last 60/11, the last 11 are no. So you're wrong. You shouldn't be putting it in your deck. Take it out.
So that was Kessler's way of approaching his part of the list.
All right. So what's your way, Ben?
Let's talk
passive aggressive.
Let's talk about it on the thing.
Passive aggressive Bateman. All right. Number 61.
It's going to surprise you guys to know Tybalt is not Tybalt. Number 61.
You know, Tybalt's not even in the bottom three.
Yeah. We thought about it. He's the go-to worst planeswalker ever.
He just kind of clicked up. We'll talk about him in a second. Number 61. You know what's interesting? This guy has probably been one of the best planeswalkers ever, but he's currently at the bottom. Jace the Living Guild Pack. 15 seconds, yes. Go.
Chase the Living Guild Pack. You want me to go first on this one?
Just read what it is.
There's only ever been one Jace that was truly just not good at all, and that is Jace the Living Guild Pack. This card costs 4 mana, which you're thinking, 4 mana Jace, this is exciting. Comes down on 5 loyalty, crazy. Blue 2 for a 5 loyalty planeswalker, +1. Look at the top 2 cards of your library. Put one of them into your graveyard. So the +1 kind of scries away a card and puts a card in your...
It's pseudo scries / but bad scry.
Yeah.
Bad scry 2, and then it...
He goes to 6.
It's bad. It's okay for dredge.
-3, return another target non-land permanent to its owner's hand. So it's a 4 mana unsummon.
Is it a permanent or is it a planeswalker?
Target non-land permanent.
And then useless.
Yeah, so I mean, you can bounce another planeswalker.
If you bounce a land, I'd be a little bit if it was full cryptic.
Yeah,
maybe.
But it doesn't, and then -8 for each player shuffles his or her hand and graveyard into their library. You draw 7 cards. So if you can get Jace to 8, I mean, it's a sweet ultimate. You get to just, but it actually doesn't do anything to the board. So if they're winning and you're dead the next turn and you ult Jace, you're still just dead unless you draw enough things to get you out of the situation. So this card's not good.
Nope. Worst planeswalker of all time.
Yeah, I think that pretty much does for that one.
Yep. I would
spend less time talking
there
about the bad ones.
There are 6 planeswalkers that aren't the list. There's the commander ones, and then there's Ral'Zarek.
And there's what? There's 5 commander ones?
There's 5 commander ones.
Not Ral'Zarek.
Not Ral'Zarek, sorry. Dak Faden.
And Jace the Mind Sculptor.
Oh, and Jace, yeah. So there's 7. Because there's one band one.
Right.
One conspiracy one. Yep. And five commander ones.
Uh-huh.
Those are on here. All right. And those are all better.
Yes, we promise we will spend less time talking about the bad ones.
No.
There's 60 of them.
Number 60. You know, interesting fact, up until this point, these two planeswalkers have the most printing of planeswalkers. Maybe possibly why they have both tied for second and first worst.
Okay.
Chandra Nalar, the original red planeswalker.
Now, here's an interesting one. This is the original recycle of planeswalkers were very well designed in the context that this is what we want a planeswalker to be able to do. This is what we want it to be able to represent. New players like trying to understand these cards, X, Y, and Z. And they're all quite good in terms of like how do they make you feel about the card. The problem is
every single one but this one has seen considerable constructive play.
Yeah, this card, though it feels correct, like it's a good card in some sense. It's not a good card in the sense that like so many other good cards that do similar things have been printed in Modern. You would never even consider playing this card. It's red 3 for a 6 loyalty planeswalker. Plus 1, Chandra Nalar deals 1 damage to target player, minus X to deal X damage to target creature, minus 8 to deal 10 damage to target player and each creature he or she controls.
This Sweet. Should have been a 3 drop and maybe come in with 3 loyalty so it can like,
yeah.
or 2 loyalty so it can like 3 mana pyroclasm.
Yeah,
and then,
exactly.
And just, then it would be mediocre.
If it was 3 mana pyroclasm, it would be totally doable. But they what they didn't understand with this card was you usually want your planeswalker's minus ability to be a slightly more expensive of a playable effect. That's usually how these work.
Sure.
And 5 mana for minus X to deal X damage to target creature in constructed formats, like Fireball doesn't see play. Never has since the beginning of Magic. Like back in the day, Disintegrates and Fireball saw play, but like just like random expo.
Fireball has seen play.
But okay, the card Fireball.
In Modern Magic, Fireball hasn't seen play.
I'm saying like it's been a long time since just like straight up this much mana minus to deal X damage to a creature. That has not seen constructed play in a long time. And that's what the minus on this ability is. It's 5 to deal. You
4.
Can deal 6.
6.
So you get 1 extra for it being a planeswalker.
Okay.
You can kill a creature.
Sure.
Otherwise it's damage
but can't do it to a player.
No.
Yeah. That's what's not seen play. It has to be able to do one of both to do anything. All right. So moving on. Number 59.
Yeah.
Another one of the Origins 5. Mr. Gideon, Champion of Justice. I had this originally as my number one worst. This card doesn't do anything.
Okay. Interesting thing about Gideon, Champion of Justice. Like the thing about this card that I think is interesting. It has the potential to reach a higher loyalty than almost any other planeswalker.
That's true.
It can.
So it's like kind of a combo with...
Forbidden Orchard?
No. What's the black, the artifact, Phyrexian mana, sucks counters off of things, gets big?
Hex Parasite?
Yeah, Hex Parasite.
Yeah, kind
of. It's a really bad combo.
Except you have to pay mana for Hex Parasite.
And they have to have creatures.
Yeah. You have to pay mana for every counter on Hex Parasite.
Sure.
It's not just like remove X counters.
Oh, yeah. That's fair. That card's bad.
Hex Parasite?
No, Gideon.
Yeah, Gideon's bad. Yeah, for anybody who's
What's
wondering,
his it's yeah.
white, 2 colorless for a four loyalty planeswalker, plus 1, put a loyalty counter on Gideon for each creature target opponent controls. So if they have a huge board, you can plus him and get him to like 11 or something like that. But if they have 7 creatures, you're probably just dead. His 0 is until end of turn.
It's only okay if they're all 1/1s and they're really afraid of Gideon.
His 0 is to make him indestructible and a creature with power and toughness equal to the number of loyalty counters on him. So it's like you plus him, you make him big. The next turn you attack for 11 if they haven't killed him. And then minus 15, exile all other permanents.
He's a board wipe. Yeah.
Now, there is probably in an eternal format something where you could like doubling season with Gideon. He comes in on 8. You probably plus him to get him to like 15, and then like if he doesn't
die, you know
what's
way better than that? Another Jace. Planeswalker that's much higher. But Jace, the architect into the 6 things, or any other planeswalker that ultimates with doubling season.
Yeah,
any other one
like Nahiri.
Yeah, she's sweet.
She's great at doubling season. All right, moving on.
Can we talk about her? All right. Number 4. Now, this makes me a little sad because this was actually my first... She was a 3 of in my first constructed playable standard deck.
Okay.
And that would be Nissa Ravain, the first Nissa.
You talk
also,
about this one.
Actually, we have solidly hit in our bottom 4 of the 5 Origins Oath of the Gatewatch plan. Actually, we've hit every Oath of the Gatewatch member.
Character.
All 4 of the Oath of the Gatewatch characters. Jace, Chandra, Gideon, Nissa are the bottom 4 planeswalkers of all time. So, Nissa Ravain, green, 2, Plus, it's got two plus plus. Search your deck for an Elvish Warrior. What's it actually called? Nissa's Chosen, and put it into play. It's a 2/3 elf.
It's a plus. That's a plus one ability, right?
Yeah, plus one, yeah. And then another plus one. Gain life for every elf you control, which is actually probably a reason I'd have this higher. But Ben was convinced this needs to be lower as a sideboard card in elves. And then its minus is to put a bunch of elves into play from your deck.
Right. Okay, this card is not good
because it's because of the chosen thing. If it literally made a 1/1 elf token.
Yeah.
It would be infinitely better.
Yeah. It should make a 2/2 elf token is what it should do. That's what it should do.
Even if that's not, even if it, like, the fact that you have to designate an extra 4 slots to a bad card is the problem with this card.
But just I think if it down. Did make a 2/2 for its plus, it probably, it wouldn't have been too good. It costs 5, right?
It's a 4 mana. No, 4. Costs there four. Hasn't been a, it'd have to be a 0. If it's zero, if it had plus gain life for every elf, 0, make a 2/2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you can't have the design that way because you have to have the minus be able to get your elves.
Yep.
So you have to be able, yeah. Yeah, this is an interesting card. I'm going to suggest, because I don't want to just spend so much time harping on the bad planeswalkers.
Not to explain what each one does.
Yeah, let's do them in little groups of 3. So read off 3, and then we'll just do our
I like counting down. We're counting down.
All right, fine.
Number 57. This is the one everyone expected to be the worst one ever. Tybalt the Fiend-Blooded.
Yeah, so Tybalt, we're not going to explain what they do anymore. Tybalt the Fiend-Blooded, you guys just look him up as we do him.
Yeah.
He is the only 2-mana planeswalker ever.
Nope.
Aside for, who comes down as a planeswalker.
Sure.
Yes. Not the Origins ones, because they're creatures.
Yeah, by the way, you know, they're like, we had this whole argument last week about there not being a 1-mana planeswalker.
Yeah.
There's a 1-mana planeswalker.
Well, yeah, but again, not really.
Yeah, but we talked about Jace in that conversation, the 2-mana creature version. And that we accepted that as a planeswalker, and then we just ignored that Gideon exists. All right, continue.
Tybalt. Tybalt's red, and it was supposed to come down as this like interesting way to loot and like get incremental value.
It draws a card, discards a card at random. It threatens their board as its ultimate, and then
it's sudden impact. I think is their.
And then it does damage to a player equal to how many cards are in their hand as its middle ability.
Yeah, that card's called Sudden Impact.
Okay, and then its ultimate is it threatens their whole insurrections.
Yeah, yeah, but it takes a while.
The reason we actually put this higher is I know people who have actually built Tybalt decks and successfully done like okay with them.
Yeah.
Not well, but like I think there's enough of an interesting space with this card that I could see someone maybe pushing them at some point.
I've seen people play this card and it be good before. Like it's not that like I haven't ever seen it be great before, but like it does something cool. What it does is...
I would say compare like the first 3 terrible cards, Jace, Chandra, and Gideon, I've never seen a person win a match after casting one.
Yeah, okay.
Ever. I've seen someone win with Tybalt. I've won a lot of matches playing Nissa.
Yeah.
The problem is Nissa in Modern and that stupid chosen... Like, literally that one ability kicks all the way down.
Yeah.
All right, so next one. 56.
Okay.
First showing for this guy, Sarkhan Vol.
Oh, Time the original Traveler. Sarkhan in the very first set of planes.
Second
set of planeswalkers. First multicolor set of planeswalkers.
I think he's one of the first gold planeswalkers.
I think he is. I mean, there's only...
Well, him, Tezzeret, and...
Elspeth, right?
Him and Ajani Vengeant were the first two.
Did Ajani Vengeant come out in the same set?
Yeah.
Okay.
The way that block worked, the first four planeswalkers in the first set, and then Nicol Bolas was the... The big bad that showed up in the second one. Yeah.
He's in Conflux, maybe? So this card, what card are we talking about?
Sarkhan Vol. He threatens another threatener.
Yeah, he comes in 4 loyalty. He's minus 2. Minus 2, he threatens, and he stays alive. His plus 1 is creatures you control get +1/+1 in haste until end of turn. And then his minus is like, you get like a million dragons or something. What does it do?
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, he's...
Something to know about planeswalkers is their ultimates generally win you the game.
Yeah.
Unless it's... And we will mention the special circumstances where it's a little bit different.
Unless they're
He's not good.
His minus is put... It's minus 6.
This is before
6.
They realize that a planeswalker needs to protect himself at 4 mana.
Yeah. Minus 6, put 5 4/4 red dragon creature tokens with flying onto the battlefield. So, though they can't attack, so you get 20 power... If you ultimate him, which actually is not that hard to do.
I'd say that's fine. The biggest issue is he doesn't protect himself. And a 4-mana planeswalker needs to.
Yeah.
Just blatantly. That's the rule.
It is interesting to think that, like... Well, I could get into this. I mean, 4-mana planeswalkers, there's a lot of them on this list. And it is interesting, the ones that have ultimates like that, where it's so much power. Like, could you just build some sort of, like, turbo ramp deck where this card would actually be reasonable? Like, where you could just, like... Ramp him into play on turn 3 and then just like protect him with like Wall of Roots and things like that. And it's like his power, he comes down.
He's pretty sweet with Wall of Roots. I'll give you that.
He comes down.
It makes his plus ability terrible though.
Yeah. I mean, there's probably better ways to do it, but I'm just thinking like ultimating this guy wouldn't be that hard. Like, it just wouldn't be that hard. And then, like, you get 20 power. So, like, you just would have to...
What's he coming in and what's his ult?
He comes down with 4 loyalty for 4. So, plus 1s, he gets to 5. Sure, sure, sure. And then, his ult is minus 6.
Okay, so it takes...
3 turns. On the third turn... Yeah.
Turn 7, 20... I mean, I could do more powerful things than that. In modern?
Yeah.
Yeah.
True. All right.
He wasn't good in standard. All right. The last of the Origins 5. Her first showing. One of 3 or 4 printings ever. Liliana of the Dark Realms.
This card sucks.
What's cool? What I cool about this card is it's such a big fail that it actually made him Wizards change their policy and how they've made Planeswalkers.
Really?
Yeah. So, and like Tybalt is another example of this, but basically at this point they were just like, she's a black Planeswalker. Let's give her black abilities.
Yeah.
After they printed her, they realized, oh no, each Planeswalker needs to like be distinctive in what they do in their color.
Yeah.
So like. Since then, every character they have kind of does the same things to differentiate themselves.
Right.
So, like, Ajani gains life. Gideon, like, gets in there and fights people. Elsbeth is all about, like, the tokens. Like, all right. Those are different white effects.
Yeah. Yeah, she's... I mean, Liliana of the Dark Realms, our buddy Tone likes to play this in his mono-black control deck in Highlander because it's just, like, a 4-mana way to get a swamp every turn, which, I mean, it's fair. Like, that is interesting. It does draw you a card every turn if you're in, like, a big mono-black deck, but it's just bad otherwise. Like, it for 4 mana you can kind of kill something, but it has to be, I don't know, it's kind of loose.
All right, number 54. This is the first, like, I think, like, no one wanted to play it before it came out card. That would be Chandra Blaze.
Yeah,
this card, by the way, sweet in Commander.
Yeah.
Highly underrated in Commander. It might be one of the best red Planeswalkers.
This card Commander at least has all powerful abilities.
Yeah,
that's the interesting thing about this card. It's so this is one people
just
don't remember very well.
6 mana, and the abilities are negative card advantage.
Does it come down with 6 loyalty? Is that what happens?
I can look it up while you talk.
It comes down for 6 mana. It's red 4, and it's plus ability. It's plus 1. Discard a red card from your hand. Deal 4 damage to target creature or player. So that's pretty sweet. I mean, 4 damage for any card in your hand is strong. It does cost 6. Its minus ability is each player discards their hand and then draws 3 cards, I think. Confirm all these when you find
Yes,
it.
That's true.
And then its ultimate is like something really big and powerful. But the point is the first two are excellent. Like the first two abilities, like 4 damage is strong and like making everybody discard their hands and draw is strong.
So the cool thing about her is her ultimate is she casts any number of red instants and sorceries in the graveyard without paying their mana cost, which is sweet because you've been discarding red mana spells this whole time. So, like, she blatantly wins if she ultimates. But, like, there's so much setup. In Commander, she's cool. In this format, not as much.
No, she's not playable. I mean, that's why she's, like, in the 50s, right? It's, like, 55, 55, 56?
She is 54th.
Okay.
And we're going to 53. I feel like we're going to get a lot of flack, and I'm going to tell all the people that give us flack for putting this at 53 that they're wrong. Rouse Zarek, number 53.
You think this card is trash.
It's so bad. It doesn't do anything. It bolts for four mana.
Yeah.
How many lightning bolts for 4 mana have you played in Limited?
Definitely 4 mana lightning bolts in Limited? Definitely happened.
Yeah, definitely it happens. But like you're unhappy about it.
Yeah. No, definitely. You can tap and untap stuff. You can like untap a creature. It kind of protects itself if you have a creature that you attacked with.
See, I'm going to say that ability, everyone says it kind of attacks. And there's another creature on this list that has the untap a creature ability as its protecting ability. Doesn't protect anything.
Yeah, it's fair.
Never works out.
Rouse Zarek's ultimate is something to do with like coin flipping and extra turns. But
yeah, the amount of people I know that have done that ultimate and failed is actually kind of hilarious.
Yeah, this card is wonky and just a little bit of a fail. Unfortunate.
Why couldn't his ultimate just be take an extra turn?
Or take 2 extra turns.
Just take an extra turn.
Yeah.
Just 1.
Make it like lower. Yeah, it would have been fun.
Why is that crazy?
Yeah, it's not that crazy.
That'd be cool. All right. Number 52. This is the second original Lorwyn 5 Planeswalker Illuminated on the list. And you actually dropped this down really low. And I kind of agree with you when we looked at it. Johnny Goldmane.
Yeah, this card has been replaced in the fact that like there's just cards that do better.
This way better.
Yeah, this is
I
one of the original 5.
I want you to all
5.
Go look at not any Sorin card, but any black-white Sorin card.
Yeah, I mean, this is it's laughable that this card is, I think it comes down on 3 loyalty for 4 mana, and its plus is gain 2 life.
Yep.
That's what it does.
The point when it came out, it was good back in Standard because there was token decks, and doing the minus to put tokens on everything was really, really good.
Put counters on all your tokens,
Very strong.
And then it makes a Sarah avatar when it ultimates, but like, it's just nothing about it is particularly impressive anymore.
Better planeswalkers exist now. Totally. Well, this is really a power creep issue, and that partly is because they didn't know exactly what planeswalkers were doing.
Yeah.
It would be cool to see, well, we'll see more of Johnny's. He's all about that life gain. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
All right. Number 51. Another one from the same set as Lillina of the Dark Realms, and another original lore 1/5, Chandra the Firebrand. This is Chandra's third appearance of our 6 cards.
Yeah.
Small tier.
Firebrand is a card that I've always felt has far, far more playability than it gets credit for.
Because of the copy?
I like the copy ability. I've always thought that Chandra the Firebrand was like pretty cool. It's one of those cards, every time I've ever tried to build around it, I always feel pretty let down by it. It is nice that the plus is creature or player, so you can pick off like a bird or like a Hierarch or something like that.
Sure, Bob.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it has a good
X1.
So it's 4, and if you plus it, it comes down on 4, because generally speaking, you're not going to copy the spell the turn you play it, because you don't have anything to copy, unless you're like probing.
And I guess in your defense, there are most of the decks that you're worried about tapping out against have X1s that you're worried about, so she does at least kill the Memnite, or the Affinity attacker, the Infect attacker.
Yeah, I mean, she's interesting at 3 loyalty. I think she could have come down on 4 loyalty, honestly. I don't think it would have made her broken if she'd come down on 4 loyalty and just extend the ultimate up 1 to 7 instead of 6.
I mean, her minus is the real reason player. And in Commander, I have her in a lot of decks for that reason.
Yeah.
Because, like, copying a spell, depending on what that spell is insane.
Yeah.
The problem is, in Modern, Red isn't about doing that.
Like, there is definitely the possibility that you play some sort of deck in Modern where you, like, Chandra plus it, next turn, minus Time Warp. Take two turns, like... I mean,
seems way better than Rao Zarek.
Yeah, I mean, copying it.
I hate Rao Zarek. Yeah. I actually love the character. He's really sweet.
Yeah.
The card is awful.
The reason that Chandra is not good, the reason that Chandra is like, this card is nowhere near as good as it should be, is because they printed Narset, which is we're going to talk about later. And Narset comes down on 6, unless I'm mistaken, and gives your next spell rebound, which means, like, sure, you don't get it immediately, but, like, same thing, basically, right?
Just
better.
Not necessarily better, but yeah, same thing.
I mean, way better. Same cost.
Getting it that turn versus the next turn is worse. Also, because like you could be dead next turn.
Yeah, true. True.
Also, the way some spells work with rebound versus copying it. Right. So like any X spell is just way worse.
Yeah, true.
So and in Red, a lot of your big spells are X spells. So true. Like there are definitely things, but I agree with you. That just almost all the time. The things that you could do that are cool with Chandra, Narset does cooler.
Yeah.
All right. Number 50. Granddaddy of himself.
Number 50.
One of the oldest planeswalkers doing stuff right now. Original locker up of the Eldrazi, Soren Markov, the original.
I never loved this card. This feels like a card you probably like more than me.
It's unfun to play with in Commander, which is the only place I think you should play it with.
Sure.
I can't hate on a person for it because it's good and you should play with good cards. But, and then it's plus is okay. I don't know. I had a foil one. I opened one out of my Zendikar pack back in the day, and then I traded it away because whatever.
Soren Markov, right? He cost 6.
It's a his plus is 2 damage, gain 2 life to a creature or player.
Or something? Vicious Hunger?
Yeah, whatever. Soren's. There's actually a card named after Soren's Thirst. Yeah. It's minus is target player's life total becomes 10.
Yeah.
Which is pretty powerful.
Yeah.
And then it's minus is a mine. No, that's not mine. It's mine. Yeah. So its card is sweet. It is a sweet card, but it's not great. It's a 6 mana planeswalker that doesn't do enough.
Yeah. Wow. It's worth $17 now.
It's a Commander staple. Like if you're playing black, you probably should be playing this card unless you don't want to play it because people will then just straight murder you for playing it.
Got it.
49. Kiora, Master of the Depths. We have a long way to go, guys.
This is the bad Kiora?
This is the bad Kiora.
So this
or the new Kiora.
This is the one that...
Roll my eyes, because untapping a creature isn't protecting yourself.
Comes down on 4 for 4, right? Yeah, you don't have it in front of you. I keep asking this.
Yeah, you're the one with the... I have the list. You have the cards.
Yeah. So this Kiora, Master of Depths, comes down on 4 for 4, plus 1, untap up to 1 target creature and up to 1 target land. So, okay, if you're playing mana creatures... That means you can get 2 open mana for the ability, which is interesting. It does give you the ability to block if you have a creature, like, again, mana creature to block with if you need. So its plus is decent just because it comes down for 4 on 4.
Blocking with the mana creature is the worst. You want your mana creature to produce mana. It's not meant to chump block. When you chump block with the mana creature, you're sad.
But you're untapping your mana creature. So if you need to use it for something, you can. And if you don't have anything to use it for, you just block with it to keep your creature alive. Because it's -2 on this card is sweet. The -2 on this is reveal the top 4 of your library. You put a creature and or land card up to 2 into your hand, the rest of your graveyard. So this potentially is 4 mana -2, draw 2, put 2 into your graveyard. So it hits a couple zones that are important. And Sultai, you know, does... care. It's just.
I'm surprised it hasn't seen standard play. I'll give you that.
Better.
I don't think it's good in modern.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. Let's move on.
All right, number 48.
All right.
The Gorgon, the only Gorgon who we've only seen once, Vraska the Unseen from Return to Ravnica.
Never really made the impact that we thought. I think it did see some play in
green,
standard,
black,
though.
It's the problem is its plus is actively bad for it. So its plus is if a creature does damage to it, the creature dies.
Right.
So it's there's like a enchantment that does it to yourself. It's really flavorful. Its minus is destroy permanent. So right. It does vindicate
non-land
a thing. Non-land. So right. It does Maelstrom Pulse a thing.
Yeah.
And then its ultimate is it makes 3 assassin rogue tokens or something along those lines that if they do damage to a player, that player loses.
Right.
So it just doesn't, the game plans don't mesh well. It's a 5 mana planeswalker for a removal spell at best. So right. Generally you're dead.
Yes.
You don't care.
Yep.
it's purely a mana cost versus power level thing.
Yeah, it's definitely nothing.
You need to cast this and then spend time building it to a thing that then they have a lot of time to stop.
Right. Yeah, it's just sort of unexciting.
Yeah. All right, next up. The other green-black, there's been 2 real, actual, true green-black planeswalkers. This, the other one is number 47.
Garrick's Apex Predator?
Apex Predator.
Now this card is sweet. This card is 7 mana. It's totally unplayable in modern. But my goodness, is it powerful.
Yeah.
It does everything.
It does everything. Kills a thing, kills a planeswalker.
It's like a giant lethal Swiss Army knife.
Like this legitimately could have had 3 abilities as it, and it's +1 just be kill target creature or planeswalker.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting that there have been 4 planeswalkers of 7 or more mana. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
There's 4 of them. And this is the worst of them, I guess, but it's also...
That's only the worst of them. I would say he might be better than...
Nickel Bolas? We'll talk
about
that in a minute.
Yeah, because he's lower on the list. Of course he's not.
Yeah.
This is Ironclad.
Yeah. 7 for 5 loyalty, +1 destroy another target planeswalker.
Which is sweet.
The flavor is really cool on that. The flavor is awesome. I can just, I'm bigger than you. I'll take you down.
Yeah. That's the Apex Predator.
+1 to make a beast with Death Touch. That's what you got the black ability there. And then -3, destroy target creature. You gain life equal to its toughness. Very black-green.
All of them are pretty black-green. A beast, a 3-3 beast that is Death Touch, black-green. That's pretty black-green.
Yeah. -8, target opponent gets an emblem with whenever a creature attacks you, it gets +5/+5 and gains trample till end of turn. That's sweet.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's epic. Yeah, this card's awesome. This card kind of feels like to me like I want to just try to make this card work in modern somehow. It could be playable and
I don't think it's playable. I think you might convince me in Highlander. You might convince me in Commander.
Yeah, I mean it does come down on 5, and it's true. It goes all the way to 2 for killing a creature.
Yep.
So 7 mana to kill a creature, gain some life, and have 2 loyalty left seems real bad.
Really rough.
Yeah.
Sweet though. Yeah. No. He's definitely sweet. He's not good, though. All right. Number 46, Jace number 2, Jace Memory Adept. This guy, he's probably actually been in standard longer than any other planeswalker ever.
Memory Adept?
Maybe Liliana Vess.
Is he still in standard? No.
No. Not consecutively currently, but spent in standard as a planeswalker.
He got a bunch of reprints, right?
He was in 3 different M sets, wasn't he?
Let's see. I'll tell you.
Am
right
I just
now.
Blatantly
no,
wrong?
No, I remember that he was around for a while. So
he's
let's see.
Kind of the reason I think people hate Jace.
He was
and the power level of the good ones.
M12, M13, M14. He was in 3 of them consecutively. Yeah, that is interesting. Why they chose to print him 3 times?
Just an easy, cheap role player. Don't have to worry about it. Not too good, not too bad. Just kind of represents what blue is all about.
So this card's a bit more of a pet card for me than I think any planeswalker would be. So far, we're starting to get into the territory now where a lot of these next ones are going to be cards that I a lot.
The bottom 50 are all cards that probably shouldn't be in your deck.
Yeah,
looking at you, Ralzeric.
Yeah,
the next 50 are cards that There are corner cases, or maybe if you can maybe try and work and figure it out, you might be able to convince me to play it.
Okay, so like Memory Depth is 2 blue, 3 colorless for a 4 loyalty planeswalker, right? +1, draw a card. Target player puts the top card of his or her library into his or her graveyard. So right off the bat, he's a five mana card that draws you a card every turn. So that's great. Like,
except it's not great. I would say that's mediocre.
I'm saying like that ability though, it's fine. Like
sure, if it was at 3 mana.
Two cards is great, right? 0 to mill 10 target player. So in constructed formats, I mean, if you're planning to mill somebody out, by the time you resolve this card, they're gonna have less than 50 cards left in their deck. Which means you're putting them on the equivalent of like 4 to 5 damage a turn clock, essentially, with the ability. And if you have your deck built around that.
You really like milling. I forgot that's a thing that you really like. Yeah. That's why you like this Planeswalker, because you could play it with like the black blue.
Yeah. There's like interesting stuff here. So I'm not saying
Guildmage. What is it?
Oh, Duskmantle Guildmage.
Yeah, Duskmantle Guildmage.
Very
powerful. That's why you want to play this card.
No, so
I now understand.
Well, okay, just if you activate Duskmantle Guildmage's ability and then do this, you dome for 10.
For a total of 9 mana.
Okay, same turn. I'm saying like the next turn.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah. My point is this.
This is why it's so low.
This card has actual ability.
This is seen tournament play in standard.
Yeah, you can mill people out. Like in a control shell, this will win just by milling them, because like if you can protect it a few times, you'll win. And then draw a card, mill cards. Again, that's fine. Like it's totally fine. Like it's exactly what you said. It's not too good. It's not too bad. What I like about this card though,
it wasn't too good. It wasn't too bad. In standard.
Yeah. What I like about this card, the thing I said earlier about planeswalkers that interact favorably with other strategies and other cool cards, I like that this card has interaction with other mill cards that have been printed, and this exists as kind of a top end in that type of strategy in a unique way. It's not just a sorcery that mills X number of cards. It's a repeatable effect. So that's good. There's not a lot of them. There's not that many good repeatable effects that are like low on commitment.
So it seems like they're just destined to share space together next to each other on the lists.
Okay.
Sadly, that was Jace's second time. This is her fourth. Chandra, Fire of Kaladesh. This is creature Chandra.
I like this card. I've made us move this card up slightly. I think that this card... I think this card's totally...
It doesn't do anything.
Okay, in modern, I'll give you this card's really hard to justify.
It didn't do anything in standard.
It's hard to justify this card in modern.
Sure.
3 mana sorcery speed, like the things you can be doing are so much better.
Like if this pinged a creature, all about it.
Right. The thing
but
about
it doesn't.
The thing that's interesting about this card is that like there are definitely ways. So first of all, you can accelerate this out on turn 2 with any kind of acceleration strategy. And there are enough things you can be doing in the colors in modern that can flip this thing. The point is that flipping this card is quite good. The problem with it is Abrupt Decay and Maelstrom Pulse are good and played, and this just gets taken out by them and doesn't care. Pulse especially, or Decay especially, kills either side of it. But
True.
When it flips, it's 4 loyalty and it's 2 damage.
Abrupt Decay, Abrupt Decay always killed every one of the creature planeswalkers.
Yeah.
And all of the other ones are higher.
I want Chandra to be good. It's hard to make Chandra good.
This is something that's really interesting with Chandra, actually, to me. I'm going to bring it up now.
Okay.
Wizards, that's kind of why I like Chandra Ablaze, and I really like the new one. The pinging a player on a planeswalker as a plus isn't worth it to me.
No, it's not.
They need a better... And that's why I really like the 3-1 elemental thing, and it'd be cool to see that as like just getting the 1 at a lower power level.
Yeah.
But just like as a... It doesn't work. It hasn't been... The only one that kind of worked was Chandra Pyromaster, which we'll get to later. All right.
I want this card to be good, but it's hard to make.
Number 44. This is the second time he showed up, our little time traveling buddy, Marty McFly, Sarkhan Unbroken.
Oh, see, I like Sarkhan, except we had a discussion about the Sarkhans before this, and they're all like sweet abilities, like really sweet things. Like I like all the Sarkhans, but they're all really marginal relative to their cost.
Sure.
So like Sarkhan Unbroken, this is the teamer Sarkhan.
Yep.
He's like 5 mana. He's like teamer colors +2 colorless. I think he comes down on 4. His -2.
No, it's 5. It's 5.
He comes down on 5 for sure. So his -2.
Green, blue, red, 2.
No, he costs 5. I'm saying he comes down. Cost. Mana cost. He comes down to 4 loyalty.
Sure.
-2, put a 4/4 red dragon creature token with flying onto the battlefield. So, okay, 5 mana for a 2 loyalty planeswalker and a 4/4 flyer. That seems fine. +1, draw a card, then add 1 of any color to your mana pool. Like, the reason that's not good is because you have to have a surplus of effective 1-drops that you haven't already cast with a 5-mana card in your hand. Not to say that modern doesn't have them. But
that's,
like,
I mean, this is a card that you minus first and then plus. My issue with this card, I mentioned this before, and it's, what's its minus before I?
It's ultimate or it's?
Yeah, ultimate.
The ultimate is minus eight, search your library for any number of dragon creature cards, put them on the battlefield, then shuffle your library.
So my, there are two problems I have with this card. One, it's ultimate, which, right, I know ultimate shouldn't be with the judge, but like, this is another thing like Nissa where you have to build your deck around it and you have to add cards that are generally not playable to your deck to make it work, especially... Right. Here, where like that card literally competes with this card for its space.
Right.
The other thing is there are really only maybe three type of teamer decks, but really two good ones.
Right.
One of them is Delver decks, which this is not good in. You don't want a 5-mana spell in that deck.
Yep.
And the other one is Scapeshift, and this card does nothing that Scapeshift needs.
True.
So like, because of its 3-color status,
right,
if this card was 2 colors, if this was like blue-red or sure, blue-green or red-green or any combination that's not all three of these colors, like this should have been a red-green. This should have been what it is. I love that it's teamer.
Right.
Huge, great flavor, really cool. But if it was red-green, I'd see it seeing more play than it does.
I can understand that, it's difficult.
It's 3 colors, and based on the decks that use those 3 colors in the format, don't mesh.
I've never been able to find a use for this card, even in Highlander, and I like this card a great deal.
All right. Liliana. Oh, number 43.
All right.
You know it's a Liliana because, yeah, I spoiled it. This is, I think there's only one more
original
Lorwyn 5 left on the list.
So this is Liliana Vess?
This is Liliana Vess.
Now this card is like one of the more criminally underrated cards I think ever printed in Magic.
It does well. No. I mean, like, when it was in Standard, it would randomly just start doing well. Like, people would remember, oh yeah, this card's just really good if you're a control deck.
Yeah, what people forget about this card that's good is that it's a vampiric tutor twice. Like, it comes down. Yeah. It comes down for 5 mana, black, 3 for 4.
Well, what's
loyalty.
Cool about that too is like normally we talk about how bad that expensive mana cost is.
Yeah.
But when you're needing another creature to protect you,
yeah,
5 mana is a better converted mana cost because you had 1, 2, 3, and 4 turns 1, 2, 3 through 4.
Right.
To play a creature to protect her. You are now able to block, so now you play your Liliana, and then you just get the demonic tutor twice.
Yeah, I mean, it's not quite demonic because you don't get it in your hand, but it is, the value of the Vampiric Tutor effects, there's two values that people forget, and Vampiric Tutor, for those that don't know, is you search your library, put the card on top of it, as opposed to directly in your hand. The value is, you play this card for 5 mana, you minus it, you search for the card that anticipates how they're going to deal with it, or what they're going to do. They have no way of thought-seizing the card out of your hand because it's not in your hand yet. They have no way of thought seizing out of your hand because it's not in your hand yet. So you're gonna get the card, even if they deal with Liliana and you just paid 5 mana for card disadvantage and putting it on top of your library. You likely 1-for-1 whatever piece of removal they use to get rid of her, and now you've got your thing, which is
right. That's just way better.
Which is maybe your Consecrated Sphinx or your like super sweet 6-drop that you're gonna draw off the top, or you know.
I mean, in Modern, most likely neither of those things, but like a good spell.
I mean, most of these cards don't see play in Modern, so we can't talk about them in that context. It's more
sure,
just,
but I could see someone could convince me that their deck needs a Liliana Vess.
That's fair.
Speaking of mono black planeswalkers, the evil version, and the reason Liliana Vess wasn't in Battle for Zendikar, Obnixilus Reignited. This guy's 5 mana. He pluses to draw a card. He minuses to kill a creature, and he ultimates to drain life somehow.
Yeah, that card's good. You're saying
he costs. He's 5 mana. He's a 5 mana black planeswalker. Same problems as Liliana, but kind of worse. I'd rather tutor and guarantee my next turn is just going to be great than draw a card.
It's 5 loyalty, and it destroys a creature with no side effect. So -3, destroy a creature, still on 2. So the Garrick effect that we were talking about of costing 7 and getting that ability, you don't gain any life, but it only costs 5 and you do the same thing, which is great.
Right.
It's +1, drawing a card and losing a life. Like, that's fine. Again, like, it goes to 6.
But Phyrexian Arena doesn't see that much play. That's kind of my issue with that ability on 5 is like, Phyrexian Arena doesn't see any play.
But Phyrexian Arena can't reverse and kill whatever thing they play.
Sure, sure, sure.
This I
get why you're playing the
6.
Extra 2 mana.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think this card's good. I remember talking about when we did our Battle for Zendikar review how good I thought this card was, and it saw 0 play.
Yep. Mind you, something I do want to bring up, especially with the new walkers, pretty much since Magic Origins, but really specifically Battle for Zendikar and Oath of the Gatewatch.
Right.
The amount of tournaments available that they really got a chance to really see play is low.
Yeah.
There weren't many modern GPs before Oath of the Gatewatch, and the Eldrazi Winter happened. So like there's not, I'm willing to give some of these newer walkers a little bit more of a bonus point from unknown. That being said, Obnixilus Reignited, probably not that great.
Yeah. It's just mediocre.
speaking of all of these guys, number 41, And this is one of the reasons he's been every color but white. Sarkhan the Mad.
Oh, this card's sweet. This is another Sarkhan where I'm just like, I love this card.
Yeah, but she's not good.
This card's so cool. It comes down with 7 loyalty.
Yeah.
7 loyalty.
But it doesn't have a plus.
Yeah.
Well, 0 pluses. It's one of the few planeswalkers that legitimately ultimates the turn you play it.
Yeah, it has.
It just ultimate requires you to have multiple dragons by turn 5 to be anything legitimate.
Black, red, 3 colorless for a planeswalker that comes down on 7 loyalty. 0, its 0 ability is Dark Confidant yourself.
No, Dark Confidant, the Sarkhan.
Dark Confidant, the Sarkhan. So he's going to minus 2 or minus 3 or something like that, sure. Unless you get a land or something. But that's pretty cool. I remember this saw some play in Standard.
My first ever PTQ, I had this in my deck.
I remember because I came back to Magic after like a year or two off at Eldrazi. This was the first set when I moved to LA, when I met you actually.
Yep.
At All Star Cards in Hollywood,
which is where Top Decking Season 1 was filmed.
Yeah, neither of us play there anymore, but we played there for a year or two. Or I did for a year.
Sure.
Anyway, I just remember opening. I just remember like opening a Sarkhan in like a draft pack.
No, this Sarkhan is sweet from a character perspective, flavor perspective, but he's just never going to see play in Modern. Next, Elsbeth Tyrell. This is the forgotten Elsbeth. This is 5 mana Elsbeth. Yeah. She's number 40.
She's
rounding out that
40. She's a member of the Tyrells.
She is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the Game of Thrones farmers thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
They're the married. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Moving on.
She's fine. She's fine.
But she like wraths tapped creatures and then she makes a bunch of tokens and then she gains life.
You put how many tokens you have. She costs 5. She comes down on 4 loyalty, +2, gain 1 life for each creature you control. So like, again, 5 mana planeswalkers that can get to 6 loyalty the turn they come down.
Well, this is still in that era where they didn't really draw the line between what planeswalkers can do. So like, why does Elsbeth gain life? Because they didn't care. They'd be gaffed at that point.
Yeah, -2, put 3/1/1s on the battlefield. Like that's fine. Like that's that same thing where it's like, okay, 5 mana for 3/1/1s is a marginal cost for that ability. But it can. I mean, that's a good way to protect itself, at least. This card can be annoying and kind of a house sometimes. I've seen it happen.
Uh-huh.
And in Standard, it did. See some play. Because, like, for each creature you control, so -2, you get 3/1/1s. Maybe you chump with one of them. Next turn, you can either make more 1/1s, get up to 5 of them, and then it dies. Or you can +2 and, like, gain 2 life, and then block with another one, then make 2 more.
I mean, this is why we have the other Elsbeth, the newer Elsbeth, higher. Which we won't say where, but, like, because the making 3 tokens and wrathing the board as 2 abilities is really good.
Yeah.
It's the gain life stuff that's not my jam.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Number 39, a Johnny Steadfast.
This is the green-white one, right?
This is the straight green. This is the, like, the Planeswalker Lord.
Oh, Planeswalker, yeah.
Which I kind of, like, really cool.
It's like the fifth time I like the flavor
of it. I do think if you're playing an Esper Walker's list, running a one of this isn't the worst idea because it just makes your things better. That being said, kind of mediocre.
Yeah, I mean,
it's okay. It's okay.
If it cost 5 and had like one other ability, like its +1 ability was like something different, but its minus ability was the same thing, you could expect to curve into this and have more than one planeswalker on the battlefield. Problem is, at 4, its most relevant ability, you need to have like, I mean, you're probably going to minus it and get like 1 plus loyalty on another planeswalker.
This is another one where I wish it just was a little bit more pushed, but 5 mana, because then you could have played one of the good 4 mana planeswalkers and then used his ability.
Yeah. Totally what I'm getting at.
All right, next, 38. Another one of his cards. This guy's got a lot of printings for someone who's no longer a card that they seem to want to be printing. Garrick Relentless. This is the flip one. This is the original flip planeswalker.
This card did like a million things.
Yeah, it's the only planeswalker with 5 abilities,
yep.
Other than like debatable the creature ones, but
yeah,
of like actual planeswalkers. It's got a 0 ability. He fights something.
Yeah, and
he has a 0 ability. Create a wolf token.
Yeah,
and then he has a flip rider that says if Garrick isn't at 3 loyalty, anything lower than 3 loyalty,
flip him.
So then flip him the other way. He tutors, makes 1/1 death touch wolves, and then ultimates and does something.
He creatures you control gain trample and get +X/+X on the turn where X is the number of creature cards in your graveyard. And that's only a -3 on his backside.
Right, because he's going to come over as a 1 or a 2 mana or 2 loyalty planeswalker at best.
Yeah. Yeah, Garrick Relentless is cool. I mean, this card has seen play in...
Actually, I'm surprised this hasn't seen more play. I think this could be a Jund-esque role player.
Yeah.
Because, like, I guess the problem is that there's not that many 2Xs in the form, but there are kind of a lot. Like, I'm surprised this doesn't just see as a top end in Jund as just, like, a value engine.
Yeah, I mean, the things you're killing, though. Like, I guess it's just, like, think about like the things you're killing with this and like how little the decks that you're killing them care. Like,
this is a card that Lightning Bolt kind of ruins for two reasons. One, because Lightning Bolt kills it. Just straight up.
Yep.
Something we should mention probably is that if it comes in with loyalty, that Lightning Bolt kills it and doesn't gain more value than what it's worth, it's probably not good.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, because Lightning Bolt is so good in the format, most things that are worth killing have higher than three toughness, making Garrick bad, because most things with three toughness have more than three power.
Yeah, Garrick, this card's right on the edge. It doesn't do enough. It seems like it should because it does everything, but it just... doesn't.
This is a card I could see seeing play in a Jund deck, but all right, here he is. We forgot he existed. He's probably very bad, but he's just has that one thing that's going for it. It's 37.
Okay.
He starts as a creature. His name is weird. This is Kithion, Hero of Akros.
Oh yeah, we forgot about him last week. Yeah, Kithion, Hero of Akros. Okay, this card's super sweet.
2/1, indestructible.
Yeah, this card is like. This card to me is like one of those amazing, like, you talk to people who played Magic in the beginning and you're just like, so much has changed. You're like, you don't understand how different the game is now. Like, Savannah Lions was a rare back in the day. Like, a 2/1 for 1 in white was a rare. This is a 2/1 for 1 in white that's a freaking planeswalker. It flips and you can make it indestructible for 3 mana. I mean, I think this card. But then again, this is just me. I've been saying this forever. There's so many 2-power creatures in Modern for 1 mana that you could build like a super tempo-y 2-power for 1 mana deck, I always thought. And this card's just very good. Like, there's no reason to think that you couldn't build this into some sort of swarmy strategy with like Windbrisk Heights and, I don't know, tokens are probably just better. But like, I think this card's good. I've always thought that.
Okay.
You don't agree? It's just kind of whatever.
I mean, someone could prove me wrong and say that this guy's good. I've now cast him a few times because I have him in a few decks.
Yeah.
Casually formed decks.
Yep.
And every single time I'm like, oh, wow, this guy doesn't do anything.
I mean,
the flip him is really hard.
The 3-creature thing?
Yeah. Like the other card that requires that, you get Emrakul's for free, and this one you get a Planeswalker. I'd rather get Emrakul with Windbreak Scythe. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That card.
Fair enough.
We're
almost halfway there. We can move on.
Can we talk about how dumb that it is that his, like... I have to defend this. Most people say this is dumb, that he changed his name. They forget that he's, like, 12.
Okay.
He goes to another plane, 12 years old, and some guy's like... And it's just some random person is like, hey, how do you say your name? He's like, Kithion. And he's like, Gideon? And he's like, well, that's good enough. But he's 12, so it's like, oh, I guess that's my name now. I'm in a new land, and all my friends are dead. I killed them through hubris.
Are you talking about story stuff right
now?
Yeah. All right. Let's
We're going to do a bonus episode where I'm going to really break it all down, you're going to have to listen.
If you guys made it this far into this podcast, and you hear Kessler say that, and you are legitimately excited
to hear him do a
full story
episode. I'm gonna catch us up to the story to where we are now
in
a bonus episode.
This is what I'm going to say. If you guys... How many tweets?
10.
How many... 10, that's it? That's not enough.
10.
50.
No, 10. No, not 50.
Skipping the segment. Moving on.
Guess 10. If we can get the 10, it's happening. 36. Garrick, Primal Hunter. This guy does a lot.
Yeah,
he's really beefy.
Beefy, yeah. Green. It's green, green, green.
I would say if I was ever to describe a card as beefy, this is the poster child for beefiness.
So correct me if I'm wrong. This is from M12, right? M12 is the 5-mana one.
Green, green, green. 2. Yeah. Its plus is make
put
a 3/3 beast. Put a 3/3 beast into play.
Comes
its minus is draw
loyalty.
Cards.
Equal to the greatest power.
And it's -3, so you can either sack him to draw cards equal to power, or you can plus to get a beast, and then you're guaranteed to draw 3 cards the next turn if you want, or just keep pumping out beasts. And then its minus is something ridiculous.
Put a 6/6 green worm for each land you control.
In the play? So you just win.
Here's a good story for you, real
quick.
You
know what that's way better than?
What?
That's Sarkhan Ultimate with all the dragons.
Yeah, it's true. It's way sweeter. Here's a quick story for you. So, a friend of the podcast, Andrew Brown, Pro Tour Top 8 Andrew Brown.
Yeah.
First time I ever met Andrew Brown was at the M12 pre-release. It was the last one before they switched him to stores where you could still go to a convention center.
Okay.
So, we went to the Radisson. You know, you remember that? They used to host
with the Radisson.
It was awesome. Wish they still did that. But I opened Foil Primeval Titan and Garrick Primal Hunter in the same pack.
Oh, nice.
And
I opened a Foil Primeval Titan during my M12 pre-release as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I traded it to... John,
don't know. Move on.
Sure.
Yeah.
You guys don't know who he is.
Anyway, I played against Andrew Brown for the first time, met him for the first time with this deck. He beat me, even though I had just like all the nuts cards.
Yeah.
Because he's good.
Because he's good at Magic.
Yeah. And he was like totally just like trying to like psych me out. And like I remember he was wearing like a Kings jersey or something. And I was like, so you like hockey? And he's like, yes. And I was like, you're not just one of those guys that like wears a hockey jersey? And he just like scowled at me and didn't answer the question. We've been friends ever since.
Yeah, yeah. Number 36. 35. And we talked about this before. This is another Johnny. He likes to call the Pride.
Yeah.
Johnny Caller of the Pride. This is three mana of Johnny. I actually think he's underrated.
Yeah, I agreed. He's a little lackluster in a format like Modern because the strongest thing this card has going for it is the double strike ability, and there are more efficient ways to give creatures double strike. So you don't really need him to do that.
I think that in Modern, he's better than he was in Standard.
Agreed. I mean, okay.
Because in Standard, there's so many more creature strategies that are involved, just like dirtly attackers that just knock out planeswalkers, where right. a Johnny on turn three can come down, maybe make something bigger, and like a green-white strategy, especially make a birds bigger or something and just like start getting in there. I don't know.
You could imagine some version of Infect that played this card. You could build some version of Infect that played this card.
White Infect?
I mean, some kind
That's
of.
That's weird.
What?
You get the 2/1. The 2/1 for two. The bear. There's an Infect bear.
I'm not saying this. I'm just saying like the fact that it has double strike and it's repeatable and +1/+1 counter seems fine on Infect creatures. Like putting it on like an Ink Moth Nexus or something seems like fine to me.
I like it on Ink Moth Nexus. What I really like. Yeah, I don't know. I think there's something here. I've played this card a lot, actually, in Commander and other things, and this has resulted in me one-hit killing people more than anything else. A lot of these cards, like, my only rating for them is from Commander or Highlander, because they're not modern playable.
I'm the same way.
But at least with Highlander, which I also play this in that same deck, is really good. Like, it's just, like, you one-shot kill people sometimes, which is sweet.
I think you can turn three win with Immolating Soul Eater in this card in Modern if it enters Lightning Bolt you in response to the last trigger, or kill it.
True. Bell Skite.
Seems good.
Took a while to name him.
All right. You can Spell Skite, but you would pay two then to protect him and die. Because you'd be at two life.
Oh.
So you can't do it.
Spell Skite's a terrible card. Why would anyone play that? Number 34. We got four left for this episode. Sarkon the Dragon Speaker.
Yeah, I haven't played with this card once ever in my life. This is the mono red Sarkon.
Right? Yeah, he was good in Standard. I thought he would see more play in Modern. Actually, I mean, like he knocks out a creature, knocks out a creature better than like if you play this. I guess Tarmogoyf is giant by this point, but like most of the weird beefy collected company cards,
right?
You can take out, and he's just a 5/5 flying dragon dude.
Yeah, I mean, he seems fine. He's like a lot of the 5 mana planeswalkers are just like control cards. Like that's the problem is that like Modern inherently, Modern is not a control format. So
right.
The control strategy in Modern is to play mid-range usually, or to play like these sort of like velocity, like one-ing into two-ing into three-ing type of cards that Grixis Control likes to do. And 5 mana planeswalkers don't really fit very well into either strategy.
Right.
Sometimes you can make room, but like the 4 mana ones usually are the ones that get to see play. So anytime you have a 5 mana planeswalker, even if it seems really sweet, it's pretty hard to find a place for it in Modern unless you're going to try to specifically build around that card.
Right.
Yeah.
Next.
Yep.
Speaking of 5 mana, and that, I mean, 6 mana, 33, Garrick, Caller of Beasts. So this is the 6 mana Garrick. This is the one that, like, you can just, it minus puts a creature from your hand into play.
Got it.
So it's kind of like a weird show and tell.
Oh, I remember this one.
For 6 mana.
Yes, Garrick, Caller of
Plus
Beasts.
Plus makes a beast, minus show and tells, basically. And then, I don't know what the last, it's minus is.
Why did I miss this one? Oh, M14, 15, that makes sense. Okay, yeah, that's right. +1, reveal the top 5, put all creature cards into your hand. Yeah. I remember this card. It's fine. It sort of just does something that other cards do not quite as efficiently.
Sure.
But it is powerful. I mean, the green planes, the Garricks in general, like their power versus mana cost is pretty high.
Yeah.
Like they're usually like pretty strong cards that aren't trying to be super cute.
Of the planeswalkers that don't see play, almost every single time we talk about one of them, I'm like, these can probably see more play.
Every one of the Garricks, yeah. And I think Garrick
is just a big beefcake. Yeah. So beefy. Yeah, all of them. They're all just like, I'm just going to put giant 3/3s in the play. What are you going to do about it?
Very good.
All right. 32. Sorry. 32, Nissa Worldwaker.
Oh man, Nissa Worldbreaker. This is a recent one. Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. What do you think about this card, Nissa Worldbreaker?
I think going on that beefy plan, she's actually pretty good too. Making that land a 4/4 or untapping all your forests is really strong. Like yeah, you can do some it's almost a free spell if you're playing all forests.
Untap 4 forests is, I mean, you get a Planeswalker for a plus and then untap your lands. Like, that seems really good. And then also in line with the Wildspeaker that can do the same untap 2 lands ability, you can do the thing where you're playing, like, Utopia Sprawl, is it? Is that the card where you can, like, it's like one mana to, like, double up a land? You know what I'm talking about? There's like
Utopia Sprawl deck. Where you double I know what you're talking about.
And you could sort of do something similar with this card and like, you know, chain one into the other kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you could like play this card, untap, and then play Garrick, and then untap lands, and then play something else.
Oh sure. My
God, that seems good.
Mono green planeswalkers, make it happen. All right. Moving. Number 31, Xanagos the Reveler.
Okay. Xanagos the Reveler. This is green, red, and zero to like make a 2/2 with haste.
Yep, and then plus make a mana for every creature you control.
Right, and then ultimate is something, something.
All your creatures. What's the you're the you where's read the card?
Our phones are both at like 3%. I keep turning my phone off. But I got it right here. Here he is. Here he is, Xanagos. His ultimate is -6. Exile the top 7 cards of your library. You may put any number of creature cards and or land cards from among them onto the battlefield. Takes a few turns. The fact that his 2/2 has haste is sweet. He's aggressive, but he can also protect himself. And the fact that he is kind of like a mana accelerant type of dude anyway and costs 4, which means that you can, you know, rampant growth type of effect into him in a deck that wants to do that. And then on top of that, if you're playing any kind of mana creature to get him there a turn early, you can go turbo on mana with this card pretty fast. In standard, he saw some of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never really that exciting.
It's kind of like another Bloodbraid variant. If you need to be needing to get to higher cost things while playing lower cost things, which is a weird, awkward place to be. But if you have the right X spell or the right reason to do it, can do something.
The versatility there, yeah.
All right. Last but not least for today, he's the granddaddy of them all. He's big.
Yeah.
He's expensive.
Yeah.
He's worse than Cruel Ultimatum.
Ugin the Spirit Dragon, number 30.
Nicol Bolas Planeswalker.
Yeah.
When are we getting a new one of these? When's good old Nicol coming back?
He was supposed to be like the villain. That was like the point when M13, right? And they reprinted him?
I think he still is. I think they're eventually. I think my guess is next year, right, one of the next two sets, not including the Eldric, the two sets after that, will deal with
Nicol Bolas.
Yeah,
I mean he's powerful, but shouldn't you just be casting the spell that he's based on?
Cruel Ultimatum.
Yeah, shouldn't
so sweet.
Like if you're gonna cast Nicol Bolas, like isn't just better to just like cast Cruel Ultimatum? I mean, I guess he's reusable and versatile, and Cruel Ultimatums can just get countered, but so can he.
Yeah, no. Cruel Ultimatum's just. That's the problem. The history of Nicol Bolas will always be worse than Cruel Ultimatum.
Yeah.
Like, they were in the same set, even.
Yeah.
So it's like, why? It's so bad. He's so cool. All of his abilities are super strong. He's, like, insane. He steals a permanent as his minus.
Gain control of target creature, +3, destroy target non-creature permanent. Like, yeah, he's, like, for 8 mana, he can, like, pretty much get you anything you need. Like, well, he can't take a land, but he can steal a creature permanently.
He can blow up a land.
Target non-creature permanent.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he can destroy a land.
He destroys a land or mind controls a creature.
And then he Cruel Ultimatums.
When he ults.
Yeah.
Which is silly, because it probably should have been. I wish that he had the Sarkhan Vol, not Sarkhan Vol, Sorin, the original Sorin ultimate of taking a person's turn.
Turn, yeah. But then he just becomes Mind Slayer of the creature, essentially. Like,
yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Think if his abilities were destroy a permanent, mind control a creature, or mind control a player.
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet.
It is cool. Yeah.
Alas, that didn't happen.
He'll never
I think if we see another one.
I think Nicol Bolas Planeswalker is only number 30 and not like number like 55 on this list, just for sheer nostalgia purpose, because like he's so much less playable than like almost
No. He's better than all the other cards. His problem is that there's just a better card for the exact same cost.
And nobody plays that card.
Sure.
So that's an issue.
Touché. If you have a walker list and you have enough cards that benefit from having walkers, like if they print more of these oaths, which right. they will, they've said they will print every time a new person joins the Gatewatch, well, they'll get an oath.
Right.
And so they kind of confirmed that the Origins, Magic Origins, Comic-Con panel that Liliana will be joining the Gatewatch.
Got it.
Like they said, these are the five main characters we're focusing on. And then like 2 months later, like, and they're all joining a Gatewatch, except for Liliana. At the moment, she's doing other things, but one day she'll join, probably, maybe. And then they shifty-eyed, but she's joining. So
cool,
we're going
story.
To get a Liliana.
Cool story, bro.
Well, no, this is important because like we're going to get a Liliana pact or oath or whatever.
Got it.
And so like we're going to consistently get more and more Planeswalker tribal cards.
Yeah.
That makes Nicol Bolas theoretically better than Cruel Ultimatum.
I see.
If you get the right control.
All
right. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's it.
Plus,
for
he makes Tarmogoyf better if you're playing Tarmogoyf in your Grixis deck.
That's it for today. That's
yeah.
the end of
that's the end of the first half.
We have the good 30
yeah.
to do next week.
Yeah, yeah,
and we're going to record them, and you'll hear them.
This was the fun 30, though. There was way more crap talking.
Yeah, well, actually, the next...
Busting the Planeswalker's balls.
The next 10 to 15 are fun, because there's a lot of cards that I have always liked and thought should see more play that are just strong enough that we kind of were in territory where, like, it's not really defensible for me to get behind
look
either.
At this way. The last
Sarkhan.
10 were, like, cards that... We can come up with reasons to play them, and maybe they could see play. The next 10 are things that we think are that kind of category, but should versus
and
could.
Some that even have infringed decks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, the next 30 will be a lot of fun. Same time, same place next week.
Yep.
In the meantime, if you guys want to find us on Twitter, you can find us at the MMCast.
Woo! At the MMCast. I'm at Kes Wiley.
I'm at Ben Bateman Media. And, of course, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/TheMMCast.
Yep. Make sure we actually subscribe to me on Twitch. I've been Twitching once a week as part of our... We have Patreon, and I'm making videos and stuff.
Yeah.
Xander574, XANDER574 on Twitch. What else is there?
Yeah, I mean, I think that pretty much does it.
Command Zone, check them out.
Yep, Jimmy and Josh, awesome stuff.
You have a podcast about movies and action.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I do a podcast called Action Movie Anatomy. We talk about the sweetest action movies in the land. We'll be talking about Under Siege this week.
Nice.
Steven Seagal, Tommy Lee Jones, and Gary Busey from 1991.
Okay.
We have Sirius hosts Covino and Rich, who have a weekly show called The Hayspot. They're awesome dudes. They're going to be our guests this week.
Cool.
So if you like Covino and Rich, just incidentally, then you should keep listening to the show.
If you're in Hong Kong... And you listen to us next week, I'll be there.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Super cool.
Cool. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to themmcast@rocketjump.com. See you later, alligator.